The word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
Matthew, the 16th chapter. Verses 18 and 19, we find these words, "And I say also to thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Look at somebody, don't scare them, smile. And just tell them, you got what it takes. This morning, people of God, I have to let you know that I'm deeply concerned. I'm concerned about the church. I'm deeply concerned. I'm concerned about the ecclesia, the called out ones. I'm concerned about the body of believers who've been called to be ye separate, saith the Lord. I'm concerned about the church. My concern about the church is that we seem to be suffering from an identity crisis. And what I've learned, what I've discovered is that when one suffers from an identity crisis, they lose concept of self. And when one loses concept of self in one's identity crisis, they then take on the persona of someone or something else. I'm concerned about the church, because the church seems to be suffering from an identity crisis. We have lost concept as to who we are. And because we've lost concept of who we are, we then find ourselves acting like someone that we're not. Man had bought a parrot and was teaching that parrot to talk. And in teaching that parrot to talk, everywhere he went, he shared with that parrot where he was. He took the parrot to the restaurant and he said, "We're in the restaurant." The parrot said, "Restaurant, restaurant." He said, "Yeah." He took the parrot to the ball field and he said, "This is the ball field." The parrot said, "Ball field, ball field." He took the parrot to the liquor store and said, "This is the liquor store." The parrot said, "Liquor store, liquor store." He took the parrot to the church and the parrot said, "Liquor store, liquor store." The man said, "No, this is the church." The parrot said, "Same folk, same folk." Anybody remember the time when you can tell someone who knew the Lord? When you can tell by the way they walk, by the way they talk, by the way they live, that there was something about them. They did not have "Super Saved" written across their chest. Neither did they have a high pious attitude, but there was just something about them that said they were. Now the same thing that goes on in the world takes place in the church. We're suffering from an identity crisis. We've lost concept as to who we are. And as a result, we are acting like someone that anybody remember when the church really did love one another? When we cared about one another. That if you were down, we all came together. I mean, come on now. We all came together. Somebody couldn't pay any rent. They come together and have a rent party. Let somebody be down on their luck now. Folk in the church will start talking about them with other folk. Y'all ain't helping me preaching here. We're suffering from an identity crisis, and as a result, we're acting like someone that we're not. But I've come by just to tell the people of God, we need to know who we are. Hallelujah. We need to know who we are. We need to know who we are and then act like we know. I'm glad this morning, Beverly, that I know who I am. I am Enrico Da Vinci White, third out of four children born to Jerry and Frankie White. Who am I? I'm a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God. Who am I? I am now the proud pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, Charlotte, North Carolina. Who am I? I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased of God. I've been born of His Spirit. I've been washed in His blood. Who am I? I am nothing but a child of a God. Who am I? I'm a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people that will show forth the praises of Him who brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Somebody look at somebody and tell them, I know who I am. What's going on here? What's going on here? Jesus has just come to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and He begins to ask the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I had to preach this text, Alex. I had to preach this text because I made the comment last week that I'll preach that this week, and somebody came to me in the office this week and said, I'm looking forward to what you're going to preach this week. That lets me know somebody listening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who the men say that I'm the Son of Man?
That's right.
Am. And check this out. He's talking to his disciples, Rick. He's talking to his disciples. And as he's talking to his disciples, I've got a problem with their initial response. Because in their initial response, they check it out what it says. And they say, some say thou art. Some say thou John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Some say Jeremiah. So one of the other prophets. Because I got a problem with folk who love to talk about what some say. What some say. What, yeah. And isn't it interesting when they talk about what some say and what they say, they can never name who some or they are. Y'all ain't helping me preach up in here. Who do me? Because my argument is that if you're close enough to me, that you know who it is that I'm following, walking with, teaching, loving, you ought to know who it is that I, y'all with me up in here? And if you're close enough to know me, you ought to be close enough to know the one that I follow. So I ought not hide behind. And some say, because anybody close enough to say, some say to me, knows who Jesus is. And some say. So Jesus then has to horn in a little bit more, because some folk love to hide behind they and some. So Jesus say, who do you say? I don't want to hear what your mama say. I don't want to hear what Pookie Nim say. I don't want to hear what they say down the street. Who do you say that I, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And it was Peter. Now you got to stay with me for a few moments here. It was Peter, and it's really interesting because Peter is usually the one that speaks first and thinks later. Peter is usually the one that opens mouth and inserts foot. Peter. Y'all know some folk like that, don't you? Peter is usually the one that allows his mouth to get him into trouble, because his mouth says things that his mouth ought not say. So it is interesting that when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" it is Peter that opens up his mouth, and this time Peter gets it right. Thou art the Christ, the Christo, the anointed of God. That's important. That's important. Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Blessed art thou. See, because you gotta understand. Wait, before I get there. He called him Simon Bar-Jonah. He didn't call him Peter, he called him Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. Yes,
Simon, come on, teach that.
He called him his flesh-given name, his earth-given name. Didn't give him his name change. He called him by his old name. He called him Simon Bar-Jonah. And the reason, stay with me in here. Y'all following me? Y'all go stay with me, right? He called him Simon Bar-Jonah. Because he, let's art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Because up until this point, no one has ever referred to Jesus as the Son of the Living God. Jesus himself never referred himself as the Son of the Living God. He referred himself as the Son of Man. Because to refer oneself as the Son of God was equating oneself with God, which was an offensive statement to the Jews. And listen, since he came to redeem the Jews, I got a flash news for somebody up in here. You cannot redeem folk you offend. Hello, you can't convert folk that you just offended. Y'all ain't praying with me here. I can't slap you upside your head and then turn around and tell you I love you. So Jesus never referred himself as the Son of God, referred himself as the Son of Man, acknowledging his deity while simultaneously acknowledging his humanity. But I know there's some super intelligent folks in here saying, how can you be divinity and humanity at the same time? Well, baby, you underestimate the power of God. For you got to understand that God can be both at the same time. How can you defy the laws of humanity by being deity? And how can you negate deity by calling yourself humanity? Well, you got to know that God is a law-defying God. Can I get a witness up in here? That God defied the laws of mathematics when he took two fish and five barley loaves and fed over 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He is a law-defying God. He defied the laws of gravity because gravity says that anything that is not standing on a solid will sink. But he defied the laws of gravity when Jesus walked on the water. He is a law-defying God. Jesus defied the laws of death because death says it is finished, it is finite, it is done. Jesus not only himself, but he himself first stood at the grave of Lazarus, a dead man, and said, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead came back to life. He's a law-defying God. Jesus himself, after going down into the grave, stay all night Friday, all night Saturday, early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He is a law-defying God. Therefore, he can be divinity and humanity at the same time. Men say that I, the Son of Man, am. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Simon, you got it. But you didn't get it in your flesh. Because your flesh couldn't have understood that. Let me break this down. Can I take my time? I'm going to be a little longer than normal today. Don't get mad at me. Don't start rolling your eyes. Don't start looking at your watches. Don't do like Reverend McCorkle did in Sunday school this morning. She rang the bell on somebody. She said, "It wasn't her. It wasn't her. I'm sorry. I'm blaming you. It sounded like her." John, who was cast on the Isle of Patmos, John is known as the I See It prophet. John, because while he was on the Isle of Patmos, John said, I saw a new heaven and I saw a new earth. John said, for I saw the old heaven and the old earth pass away. John said, I saw them coming from the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, I saw three gates to the north and three gates to the south, three gates to the east and three gates to the west. John said, I saw 144,000. John then said, I turned and I looked and I saw another number. I saw a number that no man could number. John, who are these that you see? These are they that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But I need you to understand that before John said, I saw the 144,000, before John said, I saw them coming from the 12 tribes of Israel, before John said, I saw them coming from the north, south, the east, and the west, before John said, I saw a number that no man can number, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I need somebody to understand there's some things you can only get when you're in the spirit. Some things you only get while you're in the spirit. That's why, Ricky, I don't get bent up out of shape when some folks say, Reverend, I just don't see it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Some things you just got to be, in the spirit. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And now, somebody shout now. Now you are Peter. Peter.
Teach it good.
Now I also say to you, now, you called up Simon about Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to Simon, but now this is Peter. Listen, there's an old you that God is saying, no, I didn't reveal that to the old you. I reveal that to the new you. And if you ain't had a new revelation from the Lord lately, then there's an old you you need to get rid of. If you still walking in who you used to be, God is not going to reveal to you who you shall be. You need to get rid of the, I move from my old house and I move from my old friends. I move from my old way of life. Thank God I moved out to a brand new life. Anybody with me up in here? Yeah. Now thou art Peter, Petro, rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Check it out. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Wait. Now thou art Peter, rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Dr. Little John, I got a problem right there. Because even after this point, Peter still messes up. I mean, Peter still denies Jesus three times. He still warms up by the wrong fire. He still cuts off the ear of the Roman soldier who arrests Jesus. And I found myself asking God, how in the world can you build your church of somebody as foolish, flaky, and fickle as Peter? God said, boy, look at the word, study the word. See, too many times you only look at it at face value, or you take somebody else's word for what you know, and you need to dig into it for yourself. I said, he is Peter, Petro, rock, but I said, upon this rock, Petros, I will build my church. Yeah, Petro, Peter, rock, but upon this rock, Petros, I'll build my church. For you see, Petros is a huge boulder or a huge stone. Petra, rock, is a smaller stone that is hewed out of the larger stone. So Peter, upon this rock, me, I'll build my church. And I'm not building my church on you, Peter, because you're foolish, you're fickle, and you're flaky. But I build my church on myself. And Peter, you're just a small part of who I am. Y'all with me up in here? I got to tell somebody that we are just small parts of who Jesus is. For when we then begin to understand we're just a small part of who he is, then we know who we are. That's why I can't lie on folk, because I'm a part of who he is. That's why I can't gossip about folk. I'm a part of who he is. That's why I can't talk stuff I ain't verified for myself, because I know who he is. And if he ain't about that, I ain't about that, because I'm a part of who he is. And if I go around lying and I call myself the child of God, I'm calling God a liar. Now that you know who you are, I got something for you.
Come on.
It's Peter, I couldn't give you this when you were acting like everybody else. I couldn't put this in your hands when you were going through an identity crisis. Could not put this in your position when you were going around acting like everybody else, trying to fit in just to get in, trying to move along just to get along. But now that you know who you are, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I need you all to help me here. I need a few more minutes. Just get out some keys. Just get out some keys. No, for real, get out some keys. I just want you to start shaking. Oh, I like the sound of that. And before we leave here today, you gonna like the sound of that too. Go on and sit them down for a moment. Don't let them go too far.
Better know what the keys are.
And I give you
better know the keys.
To the kingdom of heaven.
Come on,
keys. Check it out.
Come on, keys.
Keys give you access to places you otherwise could not have gotten into.
Get off that. Come on.
And I give you, Peter, access.
Come on.
To the kingdom of heaven. I give you access. In my Father's house are many mansions. I give you access. Cattle on a thousand hill belong to the Lord. I give you access. My God is able to supply all your need according to his riches in glory. I give you access. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Peter, in other words, you got what it takes. I'm putting the keys to my kingdom in your hand. Why now, Jesus, are you putting the keys to the kingdom in my hands? Three things. First of all, you got what it takes because now you got the person. Now you got the person. Now you've got Jesus. Who do men say that? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. For the first time in Peter's life, he really now understood who Jesus is. I got to tell you in here that when you really understand who Jesus is, when you really understand what Jesus has come to do, when you really understand, the second part of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, when you really understand that Jesus came to redeem, to buy back that which was already his, when you really understand who Jesus is, your life can never be the same. Can I get a witness up in here? Yeah, for just as you can't come in contact with Jesus and be the same. You can't do it. When blind folk came in contact with Jesus, they left seeing. When deaf folk came in contact with Jesus, they left him hearing. When dumb folk who couldn't speak came in contact with Jesus, they left speaking. When dead folk came in contact with Jesus, they jumped out of a grave. When lying folk come in contact with Jesus, a lying got to stop. Y'all ain't praying with me up in here. But when you got Jesus in your life, you can say like my grandmama used to say, I got something on the inside. is working on the outside. There's been a change in my life. I got what it takes. He's given me the keys because I got the person. I got anybody in here got Jesus in your life? Is there anybody who can say, I'm glad I am redeemed? I'm bought with a price that Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asking you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. He gave me the keys. The position of being his son, and because I was his son, he gave me the key. Wait, Reverend. Jesus is the son of the Father, so how then is it that Jesus says, and I give you the key? Can I break this thing down? I know I'm taking a little longer than I normally do, but I need to do it this way. Ricky, I need you for a moment. Ricky, I need you. Yeah, come right. Rufus, come here. I need you, buddy. I need you right here. No. Y'all too close now. I told y'all, pastor in the Bronx. I pastor in the Bronx. Don't be rolling up on the brother like that. I start getting BX flashbacks. I mean, Alma Adams, she knows she grew up in Newark, New Jersey. Don't roll up on folk too close. I mean, Brick City, they go crazy up in there. Quite a few years ago, when I was pastoring in Waxhaw, North Carolina, there was a gentleman who had attended our 11 o'clock worship, who had come to me saying, you know, he was tears in his eyes because his job had relocated him from Florida to North Carolina. And as his job had relocated him, a few months after he had gotten here, they downsized him out of a job. So he had come to the office, tears in his eyes, because he was a provider. He wanted to be the breadwinner of his family. He vowed that he was going to take care of his wife and the family, and he wanted to do and to be what a man should be for his family. Some lady in here ought to say thank God for a good man. He said, I want to provide, and here he was with no job. You look mighty good for unemployed. So here he is. He comes to me saying, Reverend, I need a job. Did you know of anybody hiring? And he came to 11 o'clock service, and my mind went. I said, there's a member of the church who comes to the 8 o'clock worship who is a supervisor at a particular corporation that they just might be hiring. So what I did was, I then turned around from my desk. I picked up the telephone, and I called the gentleman who went to the 8 o'clock worship who worked at a corporation that could possibly be hiring. You know, I called him and said, look, I got a gentleman who attends our 11 o'clock worship. I don't really think you all know each other, but he's looking for a job. He who had job said, Pastor, tell him to do this. Tell him to get on our website and to look up everything that he could apply, everything that he would qualify for, and everything that he qualifies for, tell him to apply for that job. And after he sends the application, hit submit, tell him then to give me a call. I hang up the phone from the one that has job. I look over to the one that needs job and said, this is what you need to do. You need to get online, go to their website, click on careers, apply for everything that you qualify for. And after you hit submit, then we'll move forward from there. And I got quiet. After a few moments of silence, he who needed the job looked at me and said, Reverend, does your computer have internet access? I got out of my seat and said, I wondered what took you so long to ask. He then got online, got on the website, clicked on careers, applied for everything that he qualified for. He hit submit. I then got on the telephone, called he who had job, and said he's hit submit. He then pulled down the resume, pulled down that which he qualified for, and said, Reverend, ask him if he can be in my office on Tuesday for an interview. And on the very next week, started a job with a new corporation. Now, what's interesting is that the one that needed a job did not know the one that had the job. And the one that had the job did not know the one that needed a job. But the one that needed a job knew me.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with the preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. And every first Sunday, Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.